Good morning. I want to welcome everyone here in Jesus' name this morning. This is a day that the Lord hath made. This is the day that the Lord hath made. And we're gathered together to worship the Lord. You know, I was thinking about worship here recently and why God created man. And it's always intrigued me, or I guess been a question, why he created man with the power of choice that can choose to worship or choose not to worship. You know, if God enjoys worship so much, why didn't he just code everybody to worship? He could be worshipped all the time with no negatives. But no, God is love. We understand that God is love. But God also desires love. You ever think about that? God desires love, and I believe that's why he gave us the power of choice, so that we can worship him in love, and that's when God is glorified. He doesn't like robots, or if he would have liked robots, he would have made them. But no, he created us in his image and gave us the power of choice to worship him in love. If you would, you can turn in your Bibles to Psalm 90. And this is, there's a verse in this psalm I believe it's in verse 9 that stood out to me. Verse 9 says, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told." We spend our years as a tale that is told. And I don't know what you get from that saying. There's several things that you could get from it, and I don't want to take this out of context here. But all of us today have been born into this world. And we've been given a slate, a clean slate to shape, to mold, to be used with that choice that God has given us, however we choose. So in a sense, we are the tale. We are the story. We are making a story. This may be taking it a little bit out of context, but I'd like to think of it in this perspective today, that our life, we are spending our years as a story that is told. So there are things in our life that we can choose. There are things that we cannot choose. The things that we cannot choose are the circumstances that happen to us, and we can't help those. You know, Jonathan, what's your little girl's name? Eva Marie. So she was recently born. She's the newest one here in our church that I know of. That she was born a week ago, something like that. And her life is only 1 week old. So she has not done anything great yet. She's not found a cure for cancer. She has not earned any degrees. She has not healed anybody or helped anybody get better or done anything. She's not done anything great. But neither has she done anything very terrible either. She's not done anything worse than cry or ask for help. Well, she didn't even ask for help. She just needs it. But her life is very young. And I was in that position one time where I was very young. Didn't do anything. Didn't accomplish anything. Didn't do anything good or bad, really. I just was helpless as a baby. And you were in the same situation. All of you that are here were in that same situation. But we're along this way farther than what Some of us are farther in this journey than others, and our story has more paragraphs to it, more pages, more happenings. And we are all having our story written down. God is recording the story of our lives. So I'd like to keep that thought right there, and let's read Psalm 90 here. And this is a prayer of Moses. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Now wrap your mind around that. From time infinite in the past, time infinite in the future, if you can call it time, God is. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. So God is eternal and man is mortal. And God, it has no beginning. He's from time everlasting to time in the future everlasting. And 1,000 years are just like one day. And our life, he notices it, but to him, he was way before and he'll be way after. Our life is, or the time that we are on this earth is very minute. And yet, God takes an interest there. For we are consumed by thine anger, verse 7. And by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, so we live 70 years, but sometimes we can live a little longer. If we're healthy, that's 80 years, but it doesn't matter. Yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. You know, the message today, I'd like to title it, The Story of Our Lives. The Story of Our Lives. And I know that the stories are maybe different for some of us. And yet, if we look at all our failures, if we review our story and we look at all our failures, it's a discouraging story, right? So in verse 8, it says, thou hast set our iniquities before thee. So an iniquity is perverseness. It's twisted. It's corrupted. It's bad sins, bad things. Integrity that's warped. Lies that are told. Sins that are done. And then there's secret sins that are in the light of thy countenance. So if there was a screen here this morning, you know, sometimes you've seen these projectors that project, they use a bright light and they put a put a light on the wall and that puts the picture up there, or puts detail, text, picture, whatever, puts it up there where everybody can see. Now that's a little bit the book that is being written with our in our life, of our life. Well, someday, well, it's being recorded because it's in the light of God's countenance, but someday it'll be public. And what do you think your story would look like if it's public? Would you be happy with the story? Well, I guess it depends what's there. I know if all of my iniquities and secret sins were plastered on the wall, I would not be happy with everybody seeing them. And yet, God has that knowledge. But teach us to number our days, or pay attention, and apply our hearts to wisdom. So Moses lived before the time of Christ, but Christ came and gave us a gift, or offered us a gift. God offered us a gift through Christ that can blot out those things. In that book, it covers it up. Yes, this happened. Yes, but the sacrifice has been paid. The blood has washed it away. It's done. It's cleaned. And that is a tremendous gift. That is a tremendous gift. Time is moving. I'd like to think about time this morning. You know, God is from everlasting to everlasting. And that's a word that we say real fast and don't really think about what it means. My children can say everlasting real fast, and it's got a little bit of a lilt to it. Or they say forever and ever and ever. You ever heard that? Have you ever used that term, forever and ever and ever? Do you know what it means? Well, I don't really know what it means, so you might. If you do, that's good. But I don't really know what forever and ever and ever means in the true sense. I can kind of think about it, and it makes more sense forever and ever in the future, but something with no beginning that was forever and ever and ever that way? I can't wrap my mind around that. But that's called life. Do you know that? Something that is that time, whenever there's time and things are happening, that's called life. And God is the author of life. God is infinite. He has no beginning and no ending. And God's not constrained with things like start dates and end dates. God has no expiration date. There is no expiration date with God. God doesn't even have a manufactured on date or a birthday. God does not have a birthday. But God is the author of life. One thing I'd like to think about this morning is that life, this is maybe I'll just try to explain it, but dynamic. Life is dynamic. That means there's change. That means that things happen, and it's fluid. It's not static. And in life, you know, we have life on this earth, and there's life in heaven. And it's dynamic in that there's things that change. We interact with people. There's relationships, there's things that happen, the things that fellowship, there's it's dynamic. And we have that here on earth too. But death is static. Static means that it's there. It's right now, and it's right here. Death is still, it's static. And we know that, you're welcome to correct me if I'm wrong here, but hell is death. Death and hell. It's death in the sense that it's in the state that you're there, it's there forever and ever. So you, in one sense, it's not death as in darkness, blackness, sleep, no feeling, nothing. And yet it is this, it's static in the sense that it's one position, one thing, forever and ever and ever. And it's a, that's not a good place to be. Not a good place at all. It says, where the worm dieth not, and there's weeping, there's wailing, and there's gnashing of teeth. And it's that way forever and ever and ever. It doesn't change. There's no, really no social life. There's no fellowship. There's nothing. It's just, yeah, it's terrible. Very, very terrible. But life is in heaven. And when you think of, water, water is not static. Water is dynamic. It flows and it moves and it goes around things and it bubbles, it gurgles and it's dynamic. But when it freezes, it's in a static state. It just stops right there. It's frozen. But all of us are living our lives day by day, and we're using the time that God has given us to write the story. And today we have a choice. We have a choice to choose where we go, where we live in eternity. One thing I was going to mention, so God has created us in his image. And one of the things that he's done, so we have a birthday. When we were born, we have a beginning date. But our soul does not have an end date. It lives from everlasting in the future. And we have a choice in this tale that we are having this choice to write. We have a choice where the soul spends that eternity. And we have the choice today if that soul can go to a place of life, dynamic life, or static death. And I may have said this before, I'm not sure. But this has made an impression on me. And our dynamic life is where I want to be. But what do you think, or what I'd like for you to think on your life and what story you are writing? So we have time, we have eternity, we have life, death. And there's purpose and then fulfillment in life here. But time is what we know as the past, present, and future. And it's how we measure our existence. We measure it with clocks and with calendars and with scratching on a rock or however we measure it. We have ways of measuring time. New to old. You know, dream to reality, and how it happens in X amount of time. And young people view life as nearly limitless. Well, I did when I was young. I viewed it as nearly limitless. You're on the life just looks like a wide open sea of possibility. And then at middle age, which I guess is where I'm at, we begin to see some of our limitedness. We're not able to run as fast as we used to or to work as hard as we used to be able to. We have some limits. And then as we get older, we see our limits in a clearer way. And we realize that the end of our life, statistically, is not that far away, the time that we have to choose. So it's our life is really measured in time as we're here on earth. It's measured in time. And that's what we're conditioned to. We're conditioned to think in terms of time. But eternity, where do you begin? How do you explain eternity? There is no concept of time in eternity. And that's the part that is sobering to me, is that we have a never-dying soul, that we have the opportunity to choose the eternity that it goes to because of God's gift to us. And yet, there's so many things that compete for attention that we lose the focus, or that we lose the priority of how to reflect on that. But then we have life. And life is a term that is used to mean time, living, change, routine, aging. That's all part of life. And it's dynamic. Life is dynamic, meaning that it changes. There's different occasions. We have seasons. We have progress. We can make progress in life. We can go backwards. It's fluid. And there's growth that can happen in life. So heaven is life for eternity. Heaven is life for eternity. We also have death. And it's still cold, lifeless, stopped, ended. Death is static, meaning it's a fixed state. As the tree falls, that's how where it lies. So hell is and hell is static, but eternally the same in a terrible state. Then we have purpose. What's the purpose of our life here? What is the purpose of our life here? Like I said, we have so many things that compete for our attention. And we get overwhelmed sometimes, and we just get so overwhelmed that we wonder what's the purpose of being here, because we have all these decisions to make. We just get tired. But that's a distraction in itself. But one purpose, we're here to populate the earth with living beings. And that's one thing. That's one purpose that God gave to Adam and Eve there. But then, as we are one of those living beings here, what are we doing? Are we a placeholder? Are we a zero in the string of numbers? Just a placeholder? Is our purpose to eat and drink and be happy? Because tomorrow we die. Is that what our purpose is? To enjoy life, to work, to be productive, to contribute to humanity? That's another side. There are, in our Sunday school lesson, it was talking about, the Sunday school lesson, let's see, the devotional that was based on the Sunday school lesson, in part, was about the man who was healed because of the name of Jesus, because of faith in the name of Jesus. We have been given a gift. Christ has given us, Jesus has given us a gift. He has made it possible for us to have eternal life. But he's also called us to be witnesses for him. And by being a witness, that means to personally experience the gift that he has given, but also to tell others about the gift that we have been given. And the power of his name is part of that kingdom of heaven that we are part of here. And as we tell others about that, that is let me back up. Part of our mission or purpose here on earth is to populate the earth with living beings. But our mission in God's kingdom is to populate his kingdom with living beings as well. To be witnesses and to give that life, to explain that life and demonstrate that life to others. So that's one of the purposes. Or are we just here putting in time till we can move on? To bring glory to God, we live for God and witness for God. Do we recognize a purpose? You know, feelings are not a good guide. Because, I'll be honest with you, many, many, many times my feelings are not very positive. I'm a pessimistic person. You can ask Dwight, he knows. I'm a very pessimistic person by nature. And a pessimistic person, someone who is natured with pessimistic tendencies, looks at life through more of a negative lens, or we have a tendency to do that. And our feelings can reflect that. We can have negative feelings and we don't feel good about something. And we don't know why we don't feel good about it, but we just suspect everything because it's just bad. On the other hand, if we're always positive about things, we can get into trouble too because there's nothing bad. Nothing is suspect. It's all good. It's all great. There is some balances there, but feelings are not a good guide. We can't just go by how we feel. And so today I'm feeling really, really excited about this. So that means it's the right thing to do. And tomorrow I'm not so excited, so it's the wrong thing to do. That's not a good guide. We will not always feel like we matter. Did you know that? We won't always feel like we matter. So the purpose of being here is not always going to feel like we're doing something productive. So feelings are not a good guide. But there are things that we can do, whether we feel like it or not. So if I'm feeling bad with life, does that exempt me from meeting the needs of my family, providing for the needs of my family? Does it? No. If I am feeling down and discouraged, am I exempted from sharing God's name or love with somebody? No, we can't. Our feelings do not exempt us from our responsibilities. And our purpose is determined, or the way we exercise that purpose is determined by how we fulfill what we are called to do. So how, and in that fulfillment, one question, how are we using our time here between birth and death? Is there a purpose that's common to all humans, or does the purpose change with life circumstances? So if I was only here, then I could serve better here. I could serve God better if I was in a different place. If I wasn't stuck in whatever, this situation, then I could serve God better. Really? We spend our years as a story that is told. So really, the story is written wherever we are. There's a story that is written based on our circumstances wherever we are. And teach us, Moses wrote, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. So we need to remember that we are here for a purpose at this time, and applying our hearts to wisdom is to do what needs to be done, whether we feel like it or not. That's maybe oversimplifying it, but that's one way of looking at it. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So in childhood, we can apply our hearts unto wisdom. As a young person, once you're out of the childhood stage, I have a daughter that says she's out of childhood stage when she turned 5. So you can agree with her or you can disagree with her. But there comes a point when you are in the youth stage. You're not a child anymore. You're related to more as an adult. There's single status. There's married statuses. You can be a mom or a dad, grandpa or grandma. You can be healthy or sick. There are so many stages in life. And our story is written, or we're living out life's story in all of these stages. And those are things to think about. Satisfy us early with thy mercy. You know, one of the things that we really need to do is make a decision to serve the Lord and experience his forgiveness and his mercy early in life. You can turn to Ecclesiastes 12. This is often done in youth, or read for the youth, but it's for everybody. It's for everybody to remember. It says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And I'm going to say it like this. So remember your Creator in the days of thy youth. Whatever stage you are, if you are 80 years old and you have not remembered your Creator like you should, do it now, because today you're going to be younger. You are younger than you are will be tomorrow. So this is for everybody here right now. It's not for later. All of us are going to be younger. Excuse me. All of us are younger right now than we will be tomorrow. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. So remember your Creator now while life is in its current condition. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease, because they are few. And those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets. When the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Once the soul leaves the body, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. I'm not going to comment a lot on that other than remember your Creator in the days of thy youth. Live with eternity before your eyes. That's for me too. Let's live with eternity before our eyes. And by doing that, by keeping eternity before our eyes and keeping our minds focused on the two eternities, we have life, we have death, or dynamic life and static death. What actions would we change? What actions would you change if you viewed life in the light of eternity? What priorities would change if put in eternal perspective? What goals would you set in light of eternity? Another thing we could say is, if you knew that you were going to die tomorrow in 24 hours, who would you visit in 24 hours? If you knew that, that would be one. That would be a way of living with that perspective. Also, live with the consciousness of a purpose greater than ourselves. And I'm going to close here with Micah 6, verse 8. And it says, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." And I'll just leave it with that. Let's stand for prayer.